Hey friends, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt. This week, we're amplifying the voices of Black artists and business owners by rerunning three of our previous podcast episodes. Today, you'll hear from Janetta Gonzalez, a Los Angeles-based artist specializing in licensing and surface pattern design. She shares why it's necessary to create art and products with a unique point of view and why relationships are so important in business. Wednesday, Genesis Duncan of Graphic Anthology will share how she had to shift her mindset and step into her role as the CEO. And on Thursday, online business leader Nicole Walters will share why you can't rely solely on social media for sales. I hope you enjoy this special series, and please join me on Instagram at ProofToProduct, where I'm highlighting our community members and Black leaders that we're learning from.
We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Janetta Gonzalez. She's a Los Angeles-based designer and artist. A lover of pattern, color, and design, she works as a surface designer, graphic designer, and illustrator. She has degrees in fine art and graphic design, and she began her career as a graphic designer working in design firms and corporate companies such as WebMD, Mattel, and the Disney Store. She later parlayed her digital and fine art skills into surface design, working as a textile designer and a style guide designer for consumer products, and creating illustrations and art that she licenses to manufacturers for products sold online and in major retail stores. She also runs her own online shop where she sells her art on print items, mugs, fabric, home decor items, and more. On today's episode, we're talking about the long game of licensing, why relationships are so important in business, and why it is important to create art and products with a unique point of view. Hi, Janetta. Welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi. So nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you too. I'm glad to have you here. I've admired your work for a long time and all that you're doing in the licensing world and surface pattern design. So let's kick this off by asking, what is a common misconception that creative entrepreneurs have about licensing their work or maybe doing surface pattern design work?
Common misconception that they need to have a ginormous portfolio. I don't really think that's necessary. I think you should have a concise body of work, tight body of work, even just to start submitting to potential partners or companies. I don't really think it's necessary to spend a whole year working on a portfolio or something like that. I think it's fine if you just really have, you know, several collections that you're really proud of and get them out there. And then as you're making more, continue to send them out. I think it's good to just keep going and just keep moving forward, make new stuff, send it out, make new stuff, send it out. It's really not necessary to spend a lot of time building for, I mean, it is necessary to spend time building a portfolio. Absolutely. But I think people think that they need this massive, massive portfolio before they can start to submit. And no, you really don't need to do that.
I feel like that's true to physical product makers where it's like they want to have their whole body of work done and perfect before they actually take it to market. And It sounds like from your point of view, like your portfolio, in my opinion, is probably always changing, right? Like you're going to adding new work to it. So get it started with a strong foundation and then continue to grow. Do you have any tips for people that are putting together their portfolios, how to keep it simple but yet effective?
Yes, definitely. Focus on your style and not what everyone else is doing, because I think there's just so much to look at these days. There's so much to be inspired by, and it's easy to get caught up in that. And as you're working, really try not to look at so many other people's work and portfolios and everything you see online and in classes and maybe your peers and things, because it can really bleed into sometimes what you're doing. You don't want to be a copycat. You don't want to, you know, you really just want your own work and your own vision and your own visual point of view to come through. And I think being as authentic in your style and your execution as you can will really just make you stand out from the crowd. Quite often, I think people, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. I'll see something that I think is just so well done and it's such a great concept, or maybe the way that the materials were used or something is just such a just a really interesting approach to it. And, you know, I might be like, well, maybe there's might be a way I can try that. It might work. You know, you have to be careful with that. So really be careful and monitor yourself. Like if you feel like you are kind of going off the rails a little bit and losing yourself, you know, pull back, stop looking at things, you know, find inspiration in other places and really see what it is that you do best and what your strengths are and just stay in that lane.
Yeah, for sure. How do you define your artistic style? And like keeping it original, like in that same vein of keeping it original, like how do you continue to stay fresh and relevant and how do you define that?
Okay. I don't know if you know, but I do some art coaching and I coach artists. And sometimes I also work with them and on their technique. And these are just things that I've learned over the years as going to art school or taking classes here and there. And I really find that doodling can help so much. When you just sit and doodle, it's stream of consciousness. You're not thinking, you might just be doodling while you're watching a Netflix show or doing something, right? So when you're doodling, that is really your hand coming through. It is how you see things, how you're sketching, how you're just moving your hand on the paper. And quite often that if you just look at your doodles, they're really telling you your style. So if you kind of study that and then take those ideas into your work. So if you really love working with certain materials, then push those materials further. See how you can really bring and infuse your own thing into it. So maybe you want to combine two different materials together, or maybe I'll try this new thing and add it to here. It's an experimental thing completely. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage people to experiment a lot because that's where the happy accidents happen. And that's where you're going to find the things that you really love to do and really love to make and the materials you love to work with.
Absolutely. You know, you have such a unique background. You've been a Barbie packaging designer for Mattel. You've worked with the Disney store and even WebMD. Did you always know that you wanted to work for yourself, or has this been a progression?
When I think about it, I really think I always have had this, I guess it's like a fire in me since I was a little kid to just do something different, you know, kind of go against the norm. And it took me a long time to really get there. I mean, you know, I think we all kind of follow the path of going to school and getting a job and blah, blah, blah. But I, you know, throughout my career, I think in my gut, I've always just wanted to do my own thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In your onboarding questionnaire, you mentioned that you had started looking into surface pattern design work like 10 years prior to you actually jumping in full. Like maybe you dabbled in it in the first few years. Like what was that 10-year process like for you? Did you just, were you not sure what areas you wanted to focus on or?
It was a lot of fear. It was a lot of fear. I left fear of the unknown, fear of, I think of success and fear of failure, believe it or not. A little bit of all of that. It was just a tall order, you know, to pursue your creative endeavors and the things that really like light you up. I knew as soon as I found out what the surface pattern stuff is that it was just the perfect thing for me, and it was a great marriage of my design background and my art background, because I have degrees in fine art and graphic design. So it was just perfect marriage of both. And it was like, you're kidding me. I can paint and draw and then bring it on the computer. And then I can make these cool patterns and then they can end up on products or a package or something. Like, wow, you know, it blew my mind. But I wasn't quite sure what to do with all of that information and how to pursue that, right? And especially in the early 2000s, it was a different landscape for the industry. And back then, it was all about these very serious trade shows that they were doing in New York and wherever else, and mostly New York. Mm-hmm. And I did have an art agent, believe it or not, back in 2003 for about a hot minute. She took my god awful, awful, awful patterns that I had made because I had no idea what I was doing. And I really, this was like the first introduction to this. I met this art agent at a a little talk she was giving, I found her on Craigslist, and it was like, oh, market yourself as an artist. And I think I was just seeking, you know, something. And I just wanted to talk to creative people. So I was living in San Francisco at the time, and I was kind of new to the area, and I was just looking to find my people. So I went to this, and at the end of it, she's like, oh, would you be interested in me representing you at a trade show? One thing led to another. I'm making patterns. They're just terrible. I mean, I still have some of them, and I laugh. They're so bad. There's like one motif, like I drew in Illustrator in one color, and I repeated it like a polka dot over and over and over again. You know, I think I had like 100 of those. They were terrible. But I, again, there was no place to look this up online. I had research. It was just like the wild, wild west of this. And so she took my work to the show. Nothing sold, and you know, whatever. We didn't work together again, but that was like a big moment for me to be like, oh wow, there's a whole nother career out there that I don't even know about. So it went on a 10-year journey. I mean, it's kind of a long story, but it was me taking lots of classes and just meeting people and consultants and anyone who I could just learn from in the industry. I took a fabric design class. Back then they were very hands-on, like there was no computer classes. So I mean, it's how old I am. So they really didn't have any. So
I'm right there with you. So don't worry about that.
So, but it was great because I learned the foundations of it, right? So I feel like that's, I can also help people and show people these techniques. So I have them, like you can, you know, we were making patterns with sticks and mud in a class once. It was so fun. And then we'd make our own stamps. And, you know, it was just really understanding how patterns are created and the creative process of, you know, how to think it out from the beginning to the end and how to plan it out from concept to final. It was really neat. And just especially just working with your hands. It's like, yes, you know, it was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So those classes are great. Mm-hmm.
So when did you start to see traction then with your surface pattern design work? And was it through an agent like the one you previously worked with, or was it more like freelance clients you were working with?
Okay, so I was taking classes, and this was probably like late 2000. Yeah, like 2010, 11, 12, something like that. I was still taking classes and still seeking, but everyone had told me I needed to do a trade show. And back then, I didn't really know that you could just contact a manufacturer directly and submit your work. And I don't really even know if a lot of artists were doing that then, because all I was told from the consultants and everyone I spoke to was that you got to do the show in New York. You got to do the show in New York. And I'm like, who's got the kind of money to do a show in New York at that time? And that's part of the fears, you know, like,
of course,
you know, and all of that. And even people in my classes were going to New York and doing the shows because they, you know, they were finding out about it too. And so I was, you know, I was a little jealous. I was like, I want to do them. I want to go to the shows. And I basically, I guess it was just the universe just delivered. And I met this amazing woman through a friend who was putting a collective together. And she's like, oh, you're definitely ready for this. You can do this. Because I was making, by the way, I was making patterns at my job. So it ended up working out great that I was taking all these classes because I was designing patterns that would go on product or on package. And they would come to me like, okay, I need you to make more of these. And it was, you know, a really great time to like know how to do these kind of skills. Cause I don't know if a lot of artists, at least graphic designers, were doing that kind of thing. So I was, you know, kind of building up a small body of work and just very, very familiar with it. And I ended up going to this show with the collective, and I did it 2 years in a row, and I learned so much. And especially being in a booth with four other people, there's just a ton of information that you're going to get, you know, because they're going to come and not just look at your book, but they're going to look at everyone else's, and then they're going to give them feedback. And so you really, like, I thought it was like a great opportunity to get a lot from one client. So normally they come to your booth and they just look at your work and comment on that and move on. But you're hearing what they're down the line, what they're saying for everyone. So it was really, really informational and educational. And I went back the next year, I did it again, and I started to get some deals. It was really exciting, but I realized, you know, I was still green and there's still a lot to learn. And this is another thing, like you're saying about the misconceptions. And even if you do a show and you're ready for that and you put your heart and soul into it, and I've done now three, because I went back 2 years after that and I did my own show by myself, because I branded myself and I got myself together and all my work, new work together and I took to the show. And that was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
But what I learned from all of this experience is that, you know, as ready as you think you're going to be, it's never perfect. You're never going to be as ready as you think you want to be. You may not always hear what you want to hear. And I think that's all good. Sometimes it can be painful to not get, you know, the clients that you hope to get, or the show wasn't as successful as you hoped it was, which is what happened to me. But, you know, as heartbreaking as it was also a lot of lessons learned in that. And I saw that I was not as prepared in some places as I thought I was, because it's kind of a mad rush, you know, to get ready for a show. And there's so many moving parts. It's overwhelming. And so I think some things like were just good enough, you know? And so at the end of the show, I realized that I'm like, you know what? That's okay. I did my best. And it doesn't mean no's are just not right now.
Yep.
And just to keep moving, keep going forward. And, you know, and I realized that, you know, there's things that can be improved on, and it's continual. Being improved on, you know, like my art is always evolving. My collections are always getting better. And then there's times I just step away from it and I have other things going on in my life, and then I come back to it again. So it ebbs and flows. Yeah. And licensing is a long game.
It really is. Let's talk about that. I mean, you probably met, so you were doing Surtex, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
I've exhibited the National Stationery Show on the other side of Surtex for several years, and a large chunk of our community exhibits there regularly. And obviously now it's been shifted, but point is we were probably there at the same time, but things shifting. Let's talk about that a little bit more. That's true of not only your art and the products that or the designs and the patterns that you're creating, but that's true of your business model too. I mean, for a part of this time, you were in a day job, you're on your own now, right? Like you have freelance clients and things like that. Okay. I mean, how did it feel, all that shifting and pivoting and stuff like that? Like, you know, like what came first? Were you leaving the day job, or were you trying to secure more clients on the freelance side? And we need to talk about the long game too of licensing, but let's start there first.
Okay. I got laid off. And laid off is, I think, a big indicator that you need to get pushed out of the nest sometimes. Yeah. And for me, it was, because I had been just, I've been dying to do my own thing and getting, you know, just, okay, been there, done that. What's next? You know, and just kind of feeling that itch that there's just something else. Like I said, I've kind of always had it my whole life. Like there's something I need to do in the world.
I'm called for something more. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And I had really been feeling that. And it just happened right around the time I got laid off. I was at Mattel and I was working as a Barbie packaging designer. And that was a really fun job and great experience. And that's when it just all kind of happened. Yeah. And so I stayed in the toys and the design world for a while, because it's kind of an easy, you know, progression. If you leave like one industry, you kind of stay in that and keep freelancing, right? So I was doing that. And in the meantime, kind of dipping my toe more and more into like the things that I want to do creatively for myself, you know, just still working it with my licensing partners and working on getting more. And that's when I did the trade show by myself, when I was working by myself. And, you know, just working on my own clientele and trying to get that going too, aside from the more bread and butter design clients. Right. So what does that look like? You know, am I doing more pattern design for companies? Am I working with an agency that, you know, takes pattern designers and their work and sells them? Or I did a little bit of that. I did in a more branding, but in a more artistic way. So I do a lot of lettering. So people will come to me like, oh, we want you to letter this or that for us. So it'd be a logo or whatever. So you can, you know, still kind of do the skills that, you know, I foundationally have, but then infuse them with all the creative artistic skills that I have as well. So, so that's been fun. But it was a transition, you know, like anything. Definitely.
Well, this whole business journey is a transition, right? When we start to get comfortable in one thing, I feel like that's where, you know, things take a little bit of a turn, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's part of the growth process, but it is uncomfortable. And there is that underlying fear too, that we have of like, am I making the right choices? Is this going in the right direction? So
all
I know I felt that in my own business. So I'm sure you have to.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was feeling that even before I got pushed out of the nest, right? I was like, oh no, should I, you know, just do this licensing thing and in some capacity. And I went back and forth until, you know, I think until everything kind of lined up and then I was able to do it. So, but you know, I could have started it 4 or 5 years ago, you know,
oh, totally.
And like other people I knew who had pursued it and who are still in the game and doing really, really well. And you know, I had a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas about that, for sure. I kind of beat myself up because I think if I had started sooner, I may have, but who knows, right? Like it may not have worked out, right? So
yeah,
it's just, you just don't know.
You never know. And I stayed in the corporate world for a long time too, because I felt like my corporate job afforded me the stability to support my family and it allowed me to reinvest in my business. And I felt like it allowed me to grow my business faster because I wasn't worried about getting food on the table or, you know, paying for the roof over our head, because I could reinvest the business money back into the business and do things like the shows and other things. So I don't know. I'm a firm believer that things happen on the time frame they should. And yeah, sure, we could go back and change things, but will we still be where we are today if we did, you know?
Absolutely. I think it's part of the journey and in our story. And, you know, I would say I have kind of a long route in my journey. I really kind of go around and around a lot, but it's all good. And I could, now I'm older, I can definitely see how it's all coming together and how, like, you know, I had that detour because I had to pick up these skills or I had to meet this person or, you know, whatever it was at that time. And now it's just, you know, it's all full circle. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. So let's go back to licensing and the long game. Like, I'm sure there were people you met at your early shows that, like, maybe they didn't sign with you or do a deal with you at the show, but like, I have to imagine just from my own experience of being at these shows, I mean, more on the product side, people came back months later, even years later to purchase from me or to work with me. Did you have that same experience?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's actually another, I think it goes back to another misconception too. So if they say no, it really is not right now. And that is so common because it's really timing. You know, they might love this piece, but it's not right for what they need right now. It might be the wrong season, or it might not be quite aligned with, you know, their what they're working on. So you do have to just keep getting in front of them. Keep getting in front of them. And it's timing. It'll be right. It'll be right when it's right. And they do come back around. I have had people kind of just, you know, circle the wagons for a minute. And then eventually they'll, you know, like, okay, yeah, we're ready. Or now, oh, what is this piece still available? Or so, yes, that happens a lot. And because it is a long game, that's part of it, right? Like, you just have to see how that plays out. And just know that, you know, if you're going to commit to something like licensing, that it's not an overnight thing. I mean, and now there's, you know, the opportunity to sell more than there used to be. So I feel like, you know, if you are looking for cash flow and, you know, a quick sale, those things do happen. But it is also about building those relationships first and establishing that, you know, before that could even happen. So there is some work to do before you get there.
I was just going to say, how much of your business is based on relationships that you've built over the years versus somebody seeing your art and just wanting to work with you straight away without really knowing much about you?
Majority of it is art is all relationship based. And yeah. I really believe that. It really depends on what I'm doing. If I'm coaching somebody that somebody just found me generally or not necessarily true. I did just work with a woman that I've known for a while who has been saying she wanted to work with me, and then finally the timing was right. So she came around. But yeah, I think it is all about, I think working for yourself, period, is all about building relationships, right? So it is whether you're a graphic designer or you have a product line, you need those relationships to really succeed.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a good rapport with someone, then you can build from that. If once you've, you know, got your foot in the door somewhere, then you can build from there. And then you hopefully can build a long-term relationship, which is what everybody wants, right? So.
Oh, definitely. And I found that to be the most important thing about on the licensing side is, sure, you want to have your portfolio and you want to have a nice diverse book of work or body of work that you're showing people. But like, at the same time, it's about who you know and how flexible you can be and just them knowing they could count on you for good product or good work. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot that goes into it, but all of that's relationship based. If they know that mm-hmm. they like you and can trust you and you'll do a great job, it's going to open the door for more licensing opportunities too.
That's right. That's right. Yes. All the above.
What are your favorite type of products to create? I know you've done things like pillows and textiles and even art prints and stationery. What's your favorite though?
Oh, I like ceramics and which I'd love to do more of. I have done very little of it. So that's something I'd like to pursue more of. And I think it's just really beautiful to see that medium, you know, your art on a ceramic surface, as opposed to like the fabric, which is always great, but it's not fabric. It's not paper. You know, it's beautiful texture. Depending how it's printed, it can be just even cooler.
Yeah.
And so I think ceramic's something I enjoy, I'd like to do more of. And I really like greeting cards. I do greeting cards quite a bit. And whether they're like announcements or invitations, and especially wedding invitations, those are really fun. And So yeah, but you know what? I also been doing a lot of my own products too from my own shop.
Cool.
And I did a bunch of research and found some printers that make different types of products that I could basically sell as print on demand products in my store.
Yep.
And I found some really good things that I've been really having fun with. So I designed a tea towel calendar that I sell at my store that was a lot of fun to make. Because, you know, it's really just like a, you know, piece of art you can put on your wall that's fabric. So I thought that was fun. And I make these mugs that have pops of color inside. So that's kind of neat to like select the color of the mug and then like build something around that color. And then see them come together that way. So just kind of researching, I made a blanket that just came out beautiful. And I'm really enjoying making my own products too. I find that really I think maybe that's part of the thing I've been looking for, and I've been really tapping into that more and exploring that. And I just opened a shop up last year of some of these products and my own original art and art prints. And as I'm trying out more products and sampling them, it's exciting. I'm really getting into it. So I'm going to see what else I can come up with.
Well, and that's got to fuel your creativity for the work you're doing for other people as well. If you have your own creative outlet and your own product line and design work that you're doing, where you can play, you know, and it's not for a client, I'm sure that still inspires you to do even better work for your clients. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and it feels like you said, it just feels that part of you that just wants to keep creating and making your own stuff. And, you know, when you work on a brief or work for someone else, it doesn't fulfill that all the time. Sometimes it does if they're hiring you to do your thing.
Yeah.
But quite often it is directed. And so, yes, this definitely has been really fulfilling and rewarding. Just like you said, playing and experimenting and trying, art on new surfaces and seeing what it can look like as a mini collection on your own products. So it's been great. I really enjoy it.
Oh, good. So what advice do you have for other creative entrepreneurs who may just be starting out and maybe they want to jump into surface pattern design work?
If you want to get started in it, I would say really work on your work, your artwork first. And while you're working on your artwork, keep in mind the type of products that you want to submit this artwork for. I think it's great to have a body of work, but also have kind of a plan, have a strategy with it. So as you're designing, okay, what would this be great on? So even before you're designing, maybe start even thinking from there. You can start like picking a product category and be like, okay, home decor. X, Y, and Z products, you know, I mean, it could be pillows, it could be shower curtains, whatever it is, you know, think about what the application will be. And then you can work backwards. Right. You're like, oh, I'd love to design that. So this is what this looks like. And then you can start to plan out the collection from that point. So if you know it's going to go on these type of products, then you can kind of see how that comes together. Right. I think if you work the other way around, then you have to fit it in a category. And that could be fine too. Mm-hmm. If you just, you know, you're making art that can kind of go on a lot of different things. That's also another way to approach it. So if it is like an art that's in a square that could go on a pillow or it could go on a card, it could go on, you know, and it could be also turned into a pattern with other motifs or other things you can build from there. So either you start with this one you know, maybe like inspirational design that you can build from, or think about the products that you're going to put it on first and work backwards.
Working backwards makes a lot of sense for me because you want to see that end vision before you like to build up to it. Like you, it's kind of like business goals, right? Where when we know where we want to go, it makes it easier to build that path to get there. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, what's next for you? What are you working on over the next 6 months? What do you have coming up?
Oh, okay. You can find me in the most recent Uppercase magazine, and I have a feature in there, and I'm giving advice to artists. So that's really exciting. I've also been working with Spoonflower, and the first 3 months of this year, I had written an article a month on design tips. So if you go on there, you can search for my name in their blog and you'll find me in there. So I love to share any advice and help, and especially for artists. So I also coach. I've been doing that for a few years now. You know, I'm always looking to help new artists. So you can reach out to me for that. And I do a lot of different things. So it's, you know, just reach out to me and see, you know, if we can work together and I can help you. But it can be anything from getting started with your art licensing career to just needing direction with your art or your art business. You need a critique, you're doing a trade show, you need branding help or booth help, all sorts of stuff like that. It helps a lot of people, you know, just get over whatever hurdle they're having right now. So I love doing that. So I'm always looking for new clients. Also, I am just continuing to work on my own products in my shop and be updating those, and as well as pursuing more licensing deals and partnerships. So yeah, that's what I have going right now. And I'm going to brewing up some classes. Hopefully the second half of the year, you'll be seeing me coming out with some fun stuff. So that's in the works.
That's awesome. You're a busy bee. You've got a lot going on. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your website or look at your coaching programs or follow you on Instagram?
Is that where you're going? Yes, I am on Instagram. You can find me on my website at JanettaGonzalez.com. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me there. My handle there is NetDesigns, N-E-T-T Designs.
Awesome. We'll include that in the show notes so people can find you there. Janetta, thank you so much for coming on today. It was really fun to hear your journey, and thank you for shedding some more light on surface pattern design and just how you've gotten to where you are today. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proofyourproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.